Welcome back to another episode of Brain Lemonade.
Hello.
We're gonna get back into some movies just for a second. There's two good ones.
This is the first time in a while that we've done two big movies, like, in the not the same week, but like 1 week and then the next week.
Right.
Because it's just been a while since we've gone hard on movies.
And they were lucky enough to be nerd movies. So we got Spider-Man and The Flash.
We got Marvel and DC.
And Marvel and DC.
Yeah.
We're just going to start with Spider-Man because, as you know, our second episode was about Spider-Man. So we are big fans of Spider-Man.
And because of this new movie, mostly you, I enjoy watching, got back into the PS5 Spider-Man game.
Yeah, the remaster of the PS4, yeah.
And then we rewatched the first Into the Spider-Verse to, you know, get our brains right. Even though I feel like that movie is kind of one of our kind of could watch it anytime movie.
I do watch it anytime.
Yeah.
Into the Spider-Verse?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah.
I watch it like at least once a week.
Like, it's a good movie.
And I listen to the soundtrack more regularly.
I do have to say, the soundtrack for Across the Spider-Verse is good, but different than the first one.
That's why I kind of like the first one more, but
it's just like, the first one was very hip-hoppy, and I feel like this one took in a lot of, like, jazz influences, and I feel like that speaks to, because we see Gwen's universe.
We see Gwen's life for a second, and she's a drummer.
Her art style gives me the jazz vibes, I guess, if that makes sense.
Like, that's one thing I want to talk about for sure, is that there's just so many art styles that it was pretty.
Yeah.
You know, it was so pretty that, like, if you weren't looking at the Spider-Men or women or whatever,
mm-hmm.
you were looking at the background, and that was just awesome. That was so cool.
I'd watch a whole, like, hour and a half movie about, like, each of these main Spider-Verse Spider-Men, like, in their art styles.
Right.
I'd watch a whole, like, little backstory or
whatever.
Don't
give Disney what they want. I'm just kidding.
Right.
No, I thought it was so much fun. Like, I love the first movie. Like I said, I watch it once a week, basically. But, like, the second one was so much more. So much more. And it was just, like, it was kind of like a big nerd dream in a way.
Yeah.
And that's what I love about it. But also, like, it shined light on other Spider-Men that I didn't think it would. And I'm just absolutely head over heels for Hobie Brown, Spider-Punk.
It's
so cool. So awesome. I never thought we'd see him played by a great voice actor, or by a great actor.
Yeah.
So I'll get into the actors in a second. I gotta have them all around.
Right.
Because I gotta have my page up.
But I think, I mean, if you haven't seen the movie yet, probably we're going to try to really hard not to spoil either of these movies, but this one is a part one.
Yeah.
Just
technically,
so you know.
If you want to think about it, it's a part two. Because part one already came out.
Right.
Into the Spider-Verse, Across the Spider-Verse, and Beyond the Spider-Verse.
Is that what the third one's going to be called, Beyond?
I can do a quick little reading of what the movie synopsis or the movie description on the IMDb page. It says Miles Morales catapults across the multiverse where he encounters a team of spider people charged with protecting its very existence. When the heroes clash on how to handle a new threat, Miles must redefine what it means to be a hero. I believe all the directors, or I know the writers, Phil Lord was still one of them.
And Christopher Miller.
Christopher Miller was in the other one too?
I think so.
Okay. Directors, I don't want to say, I feel bad saying these names wrong, but for this movie it was Joaquin Dos Santos, am I saying that right? Kemp Powers and Justin K. Thompson. And the other movie was Bob Prochetti, Peter Ramsey, and Rodney Rothman. Rodney Rothman also was a writer.
It's interesting.
The first movie.
How, like, they do feel very similar, that they have different directors.
Yeah. Some of the actors, obviously, Shameik Moore. was Miles Morales, and he played it in both movies, along with Haley Steinfeld, who was Gwen Stacy in both. You have Brian Tyree Henry, who played Jeff Morales, which is Miles' daddy. And Rio Morales was played by, or Luna Lauren Velez played Rio Morales. Jeez, so many big names all at once. And obviously Jake Johnson reprised his role as Peter B. Parker. And we get, Daniel Kaluuya played Hobie Brown, which is awesome as hell.
Yeah.
And I don't want to spoil too much of other characters, apart from trailers. Obviously, if you've seen a trailer and not the movie, then I don't care about spoiling any of that.
Right.
But the guy in the blue and the red suit was Spider-Man 2099. Miguel O'Hara, voiced by Oscar Isaac, which was awesome. The rest of that, I don't want to spoil any of it.
Because it was kind of exciting, like,
discovering catching each people. Of the Spider-Man and their voices and stuff. That was the best part.
As someone that, like, doesn't know, like, I know the Spider-Man universe from, you know, Into the Spider-Verse and the other games and movies that we've watched, but I'm really enjoying this adaptation. Like, right. I think it's really... Because I know it exists, like the multi-Spider-Verse, because obviously there's a whole bunch of different Spider-Mens.
Right.
And I think how they're, like, bringing them all together is really cool.
Yeah.
And I think, like, because sometimes in movies when there's, like, multiple universes, like, my brain can't comprehend, like,
right.
How are you getting here to here and, like, don't talk to yourself or whatever sort of thing. And I think they do a really good job, in these Across the Spider-Verse movies, like, it's a machine that ripped a hole in time, space-time.
Space-time into an extreme, outcome. And that's what I like about it. And that's why I think the artwork change is so cool, so good, and, like, kind of makes it feel more alive. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Kind of just, like your mind isn't limited.
Right.
Kind of scenario, and that's kind of how Spider-Man makes you feel sometimes.
Yeah.
So, that's why I enjoy it.
And it's so cool how, like, they, like, even though they all have different, like, animation styles and stuff, it all goes together. Like, it doesn't feel weirdly out of place.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes it can look out of place, but it's not. It's just, like, it's kind of like your brain, adapting to what it's doing.
Right.
But, no, it's... Like, the art, I loved it so much. Spider-Punk looked so, like, 90s, like slap image.
Early 90s punk.
And that's so cool.
Yeah.
So awesome.
And, like, his style was very, like, newsprint almost.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. It still had, a lot of its quirky moments, obviously, like, Miles has to deal with the dilemma of, if he wants to tell his parents he's Spider-Man or not.
Mm-hmm.
And then, it causes all the funny banter between him and his mom and dad. And, like, what's he up to? Like, who's he hanging out with? You know what I mean? And
won't you lay off his ass?
Maybe if you lay off his ass. But, it still had the heart. It still had that means of trapping you inside of it. It also had that, like, feel that, like, for a second you forget that Peter Parker was in his world, You kind of just feel that Miles was the Spider-Man.
The whole time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's what's kind of cool now is because he's just repping his world now, and that's that's just really cool having Miles in it.
A part that I want to talk about, but I don't want to.
Which one? Is it the point? Because we're allowed to talk about it now.
That was really cool. That's right. But, No, like the
thousands
whole...
of Spider-Men just pointing at each other. You?
Get that you? Spider-Man.
Him?
Him?
Huh? Yeah.
That wasn't awesome. And there's a part, multiple parts where there's, like, a whole bunch of Spider-Men in each scene.
Mm-hmm.
And I wish I knew the world well enough to be like,
Right. I mean, you make it seem like I know the world well enough. Like, I know some of them for sure to go, oh, hey, over there. Oh, my gosh, over there. But, like, there's a lot of them that I was like, who is that? That's awesome.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like,
there was a really, like, thick-looking Spider-Woman.
Right.
And I was like, I'm curious about her.
I'm curious about the thick Spider-Woman.
But I did see I can't remember his like official name, but like the Bagman, Spider-Bagman.
Oh, yeah,
I saw him in the background.
Yeah, I saw him
somewhere.
Too. There's a rumor that there's two different versions of this movie in theaters.
Really?
That it changes like little things, not like big major things, not like an alternative ending or anything, but more of a it shows, the example was showing Miguel talk to his little digital woman, his little digital woman, and it showed the clip, and I believe it was the one you and I saw, and he said, now my friend sent me this, and it was different in like a slight way.
Oh.
And apparently, yeah, that's a big, I don't know if it's a rumor or if it's been proven or not.
Interesting.
If you want to look it up, but... yeah, and I was like, that's kind of cool, but, like, at the same time, what does that mean for when it comes out? Like,
right? There better be, like, if that's the case, they better include both scenes.
Is that the theatrical version and the non-theatrical version? But, that was one of the things I heard about. It's the crazy thing about it being a two-parter is, like, you really don't know what to talk about. Because it could just be spoiling so much.
Right.
But not spoiling anything at all, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I just wanted to keep it minimal. I just want to talk about, like, the excitement in the movie. Like, the energy just goes nonstop.
Beginning to end, for sure.
Yeah, and it's very exciting. You kind of just stick with this mystery the entire time. You want to know what's happening next.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I got. You got trivia? Or are you still looking up that...
I do have trivia, but I didn't specifically see anything about, like, the different things.
I just saw a rumor about it going around on TikTok that there was two versions of the movie put in theaters, so.
Interesting. There's a lot of, like, so Phil Lord and Christopher Miller revealed that they told Sony the sequel would be about the same size as Into the Spider-Verse, but it ended up having the largest crew of any animated movie ever.
Damn.
With around 1,000 people working on it. They added that it had 240 characters and it takes place in 6 universes.
Jeez.
If that helps your brain wrap around how
six
much...
6 universes, I think that's accurate.
They expanded it, yeah.
I can remember that.
You can cut this out or bleep it, but on Earth... 13-12-2, the Lego universe.
Yeah.
Was animated by a 14-year-old boy, Preston Matonga.
Why do you want me to bleep it?
I just didn't want to give it away that there was a Lego universe if someone was...
No, it's been announced that the kid, that they hired the kid to do it.
Yeah, a kid to do it, yeah. Because Christopher Miller and Phil Lord were impressed by his Twitter video recreating the entire trailer with Lego.
So my favorite about that.
Freaking job out of it.
Right? My favorite out of that whole part, too, was because, you know, the Spider-Man would call in to O'Hara, Miguel O'Hara Spider-Man, to just, like, kind of report back. And it showed that Spider-Man, Peter Parker, as a Lego, go to the bathroom, get into the stall, and calls him. And it's funny because on the other line, Miguel was just like, thanks, Peter. You're the best asset to this team.
I know.
You're just like, oh my gosh. Like,
right.
It's funny that the Lego Spider-Man was the biggest asset to the team.
Of course he is.
I agree.
Yeah. It's the longest running American animated film to date at 2 hours and 20 minutes.
Damn.
Right?
It was a nice movie. I didn't want it to end. Like, geez.
I know. When it ended, I was like, oh, you bitch. Right. I was so bummed. So originally it was supposed to be released in October of last year, but because of COVID and stuff, it got pushed to a couple weeks ago. But it also says that production of the film was completed on May 20th, 2023. So like a month, it says 13 days before its release.
Oh.
So they like clearly had a lot of work to do between October and now.
Damn.
Right?
That's awesome though. I mean, it still turned out, you know, just as great.
Yeah.
If not better.
The Spider-Punk is an alternative universe mixture of both Spider-Man and the original Prowler.
Oh.
The original Hobie Brown was the first Prowler, a petty thief turned hero after being redeemed by Spider-Man, and Aaron Davis became Prowler.
Oh. Yeah, I knew some of that stuff.
I didn't know that. That's cool. when Miles takes a tour of the spider people, the mm-hmm. Insomniac Spider-Man is introduced, like, with yep. text on the screen.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I was like, that's kind of cool.
It was nice seeing him. I think the voice actor played the role for a second, too.
Yeah. The J.K. Simmons, obviously.
Yeah.
Which I think is really cool.
A couple of voices. That was fun.
Yeah, across all the different, like, movies and, like, production mm-hmm. companies and stuff that, like, he's our J. Jonah right. forever, I think. And let's see. Yeah. It's the 10th Spider-Man movie to be released in theaters.
Dang. What?
Right?
Wow. Wait, yeah. Toby had 3. Andrew had 2. Tom has had
3.
And then Across the Spider-Verse 1 and 2.
Yeah. 10.
Damn.
Yeah.
That's awesome. That's so cool. Well, we love the web. We love the web crawler, the web slinger, the wall crawler, the friendly neighborhood Spider-Man.
Right.
Definitely see the movie. All of our friends, I think, have seen it twice.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm kind of jealous that we haven't, but I can wait because I loved it so much. I kind of want to wait. That way, I can just
pause and like watch it and watch pause it and watch it.
Yeah, over and over again.
On IMDb, it has an 8.9 out of 10.
8.9 out of 10?
Yeah, so nice. Like an 89. And then on Rotten Tomatoes, it has a 96 from reviewers.
96.
And
I agree with the 96.
Yeah.
I think that last 4% was I didn't want it to end, you know?
Yeah.
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 Yeah. All right, we're going to run our way over to The Flash. The Flash.
What have you been telling everybody about? Was The Flash a good movie?
It's a great Batman movie. Okay. So Barry Allen uses his super speed to change the past, but his attempt to save his family creates a world without superheroes, forcing him to race for his life in order to save the future. The director was Andy Muschietti. The writers were Christina Hodson, John Francis Daly, and Jonathan Goldstein. Some of the stars, obviously the ones you should know about, are Ezra Miller, Michael Keaton, and Sasha Sell. I don't know how to say her last name.
Sasha, I think Callie?
Oh,
maybe?
Okay, Callie. Okay.
That's what I would say.
My bad.
You could be right, too.
I don't know. My opinion about this movie can be different from others. I guess let me continue with some of the cast really quick, too. Michael Shannon reprised his role as General Zod. Ron Livingston played Henry Allen, which was pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
Maribel Verdú played Nora Allen. Jeremy Irons reprised his role as Alfred Pennyworth. And Kiersey Clemons played Iris West. That's literally all I could probably tell you about the cast without kind of
Ben Affleck.
Deep into it. Yeah, and Ben Affleck, he was confirmed to come back as Batman for it.
Yeah.
So I love Barry Allen. I love The Flash. I probably love The Flash just as much as I love Spider-Man and Batman. But, like, this movie was only really hard for me to get into because of the stuff that Ezra Miller did.
Yeah.
And, like, all the new stuff, you know? Like, I love The Flash. I was really excited. And, you know, not saying the movie was terrible. I'm saying that it wasn't great enough for me to be like, The Flash, oh my gosh, The Flash. No. It was fine enough to be like, Michael Keaton, you know what I mean? Like, it was, but, like, it was really hard to kind of see past Ezra Miller,
mm-hmm.
even though he did a great job as Barry Allen in this universe.
I think technically his pronouns are they.
They, yeah. Sorry, did I say he? You said it too.
I said he too. It's hard.
I keep forgetting.
Trying to get.
But that's what I'm saying.
Right.
Like, they kind of made it hard to focus on The Flash and Barry Allen.
Right.
Because it's Ezra Miller playing them.
Yeah.
So, otherwise, you know, there was a lot of moments, a lot of stuff. You know, it wrapped up. It didn't stall too long in some areas.
Yeah.
It was another, like, not multiverse thing. It was a time thing, so it felt multiversal.
Yeah.
And they even, like, talk about that, so it's... Like, and the way they break it down, too, is so much better than a lot of other movies can break it down.
Yeah.
You know?
And someone asked, was like, oh, is it Flashpoint Paradox? And I was like, definitely not. And
it's definitely similar.
Right. But it's interesting how, like, they didn't, like, know when they were describing this time change, time travel, they never said paradox or, like, Flashpoint or whatever. Right. Like, so my hope is that, like, eventually they'll do a Flashpoint
Paradox. Maybe,
yeah.
Right. Well,
but not with Ezra, with somebody, right. With someone else. But
this was like half Flashpoint.
Right.
Whereas I believe they tried setting it up where they would continue it.
Yeah.
In the next one.
Yeah.
But with Ezra Miller, what do they do exactly? Do you have that up? Just
I do.
I just don't want it to like not be justified that I don't like that.
Right. Okay. So they have a whole section of controversies and legal issues on their Wikipedia page.
Jeez.
In 2011, they were arrested for disorderly conduct.
Hmm.
Then in 2020, there was a video surfaced in a since deleted tweet that appeared to show Miller strangling a woman and throwing her to the ground, which is pretty shitty. And then in 2022,
that's the big one, right?
They said it was a spontaneous reaction to something.
The choking of a woman?
Mm-hmm. Spontaneous, spurred by a group of teenagers taunting Miller over their mixed martial arts skills.
Oh.
And that they did not strangle the woman, but went at her collarbone. I'm using finger quotes, so hopefully, because that's their quoted. Went at her, yeah. And then there was some incidents in Hawaii in 2022. Filming people at a gas station, loitering, like just kind of being.
Like this was Miller?
Yeah.
Huh.
Just kind of being a nuisance. And then they were also arrested for a physical altercation in Hawaii with the police after hurling obscenities at customers at a karaoke bar. And
jeez.
Was charged with disorderly conduct and harassment. And
just take it easy.
Right. And then in April, so that those were in March.
Okay.
And then in April of 2022, Miller was again taken into custody for second degree assault in Hawaii, according to the Midi Libre, I'm assuming is their like news. They were arrested for throwing a chair, which hit a 26-year-old woman and left a half inch cut on her forehead.
Jesus.
After being told to leave during a private get together. So that was that.
It's like it's already such a mood killer,
right? They had their relationship with Takata Iron Eyes, which if you don't know
was it Takata Iron Eyes?
Basically, their relationship began in 2016 when Miller was 23 and Iron Eyes was 12.
12?
Also,
12. That was 16? 2016?
Mm-hmm.
And it's 2022, 2023?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, they flew her to London when he was filming Crimes at Grindelwald.
Oh. I forgot about that movie.
Iron Eyes dropped out of school, which her parents believe she did in order to follow Miller. Parents also stated in court documents that Miller had caused bruises on their child's body and that Miller had groomed and manipulated her. Text and video responses were later posted. So grooming
add to all this.
And, you know, underage stuff.
God, you see what I mean, though? I was so excited for this movie. And it's like they've been sitting on it for a long time, you could tell. Because all this shit happened, and they're like, what are we supposed to do now?
Right.
Like, just release it, they'll get over it, you know, wait for everything to calm down.
Right.
And it's just like, oh, great, you know? Sorry. That infuriates me, yo.
Yeah. And there was, you know, more like verbal abuse.
Right. We don't need to go that much farther.
But there's also harassment allegations of last year, and then there's a whole Vermont farm incident, which he, I believe, had guns and drugs. Jeez. I think. I'm scanning Wikipedia.
Wikipedia.
Marijuana.
Oh, marijuana.
In Vermont? I thought marijuana was legal.
I thought Spider-Man got Mary Jane.
Right. And then there's a burglary charge.
Jeez.
In August of last year as well. So it's kind of hard to, you know,
give this guy some credit.
Right.
I mean, like, this, I think, what was it? One of my friends said, like, of course the movie didn't do that well when your star can't do interviews.
Right. Like, and I think it was TikTok, so I don't know how old it was, but he made an appearance on some carpet for the premiere. But
I
don't
think
they, like, gave any comment to any of his, you know.
Well, duh. They're just going to sweep it under the rug. I read, too, that James Gunn and the directors of this said that they're willing to work with them as long as they are willing to get the help that they need and to, you know, right their wrongs. I don't even know what that means.
Right,
at this
you
point.
Know, maybe serve Jeez. Some time.
Serve
and
some time, maybe? Yeah. Really get in there and think about how
think
bad
about
you want to keep
Darren
Barry.
Yeah.
Like, you sully the name of the Flash.
Right. Aside from having, you know, real world Ezra Miller
problems,
I had two kind of problems with the movie. One was the CGI. I don't know if it was meant to look shitty or they just, you sent me a TikTok about like these visual effects.
It was
and I was like, I get it. I'm sure they're worked to the bone.
Rush job.
And it was a rush job. And like they did the best that they could with the time and money they were given. If that's the case, sure.
Right.
But I'm just like, because some of Ezra's faces, I think, were
awful.
CGI'd.
Yeah.
And especially when they're in the same scene together. Like,
right.
Obviously, one of them has to be CGI'd. There was like in the time thing, I was like, is it supposed to look shitty or not? But
I mean, I think the time one to me is like, obviously you're running through time. Don't you think that it's going to be a little disorienting?
That's fair. It just kind of like, cause I mean, I'm not saying we're spoiled with good anime or CGI, but sometimes we are. And the other thing I thought, the soundtrack was decent, but I think some, like, real-world music would have done some of the scenes a really good justice.
A little bit more oomph to the scenes?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, the beginning scene at the hospital.
Right.
If they would have put any song, any rock song, any pop song, hip-hop, whatever, to that scene.
Kind of give it a setting, you know?
Yeah.
Okay.
But, like, I'm not
this
saying...
This is where I was like, you know, DC can really bank on the fact they were already doing it with a Suicide Squad where people would write a song for it.
Right.
Like, and do that because we actually like that. So if the Flash gets something, that's something where you could have gotten Grant Gustin, you know, the Flash from the TV show?
Right.
To write a song for.
Right.
And we would have been like, yo, what?
Like, right. Or, like... Oh, like Led Zeppelin, Beastie Boy, like
I think
something.
I thought Zeppelin was in it for a second,
maybe,
but not for the part that you were wanting it to be in. Yeah,
and I think there was a couple other like fight scenes or just like montages that could have done with some like
just a couple dun da ducka dun da ducka
relatable, exactly, yeah. Relatable, and like it's kind of, I know James Gunn,
it's Showtime,
right? Wasn't like directly involved with. I know he's big guy at DC now, and he's usually. Puts, you know, pop culture songs in his movie. I know it's not his movie, but, like, puts those kind of songs in productions and stuff. So I was kind of surprised, to be honest. But I did like, since Michael Keaton's, you know, in the movie, that they, you know, referenced and, like,
always
remixed
with them for some reason.
To the Batman theme from his movie.
Bring up some trivia. I'm just going to give some more because we really did... kind of just
shit on
a crap
little bit.
On
I'm sorry.
On them. A
on
bit.
Them.
And I just kind of want to justify a little bit more. What it gave me was some serious closure with some Batman stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It was really cool seeing this other version because we haven't even mentioned Supergirl, which I think is a good thing. I think we should kind of keep that under wraps.
Okay.
It was kind of like a part of the movie that is the most surprising because of her story and why she's there.
Right. To be honest, I kind of forgot that she was even in it.
Right.
Until she showed us, like, oh yeah, that's Supergirl.
Yeah. And that, what I love about those, like, a lot of their scenes, they kept it dark.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they kept it eerie. But sometimes, because you got to remember, Flash isn't in Gotham.
Right.
He's not in Metropolis. He's in Central City. So the way they did it, they kind of made it like a big city that was a little gloomy with color.
Right.
And I was like, oh, wow. I like how you pulled it off. Like, he was sitting in an alley talking to Bruce. And I was just like, this is actually good. Like, it's eerie, but it's not like Gotham eerie.
Right.
It's actually like colorful kind of New York in a way.
Yeah. And it wasn't like nice skyscrapers like I envisioned Metropolis to be.
But so I like how they handled that. And in a way, too, since you never really got Ezra Miller's Barry Allen's like backstory or full how did it happen,
mm-hmm.
the way they kind of did this movie, they kind of did it where they, well, now they're going to tell you.
Right.
Oh. So okay. To me, because I think the movie, it's got on IMDb, it's a 7.2 out of 10. And I feel like that's kind of the reason.
Yeah.
He didn't get an origin story because he's already been the Flash.
Right.
You got kind of a, but here's how it happened. Oh.
Right.
Oh. And then they always like flashback to seeing more of it.
Right.
You know, and you're just like, that's cool. That's nice. That's a comfortable way of delivering it, mm-hmm. in my opinion.
I see that.
Yeah.
On Rotten Tomatoes, it has a 65 from the tomato meter and an 84 from the audience.
So the audience liked it, and I feel like the audience liked it for that supposed multiverse stuff, time travel stuff, just all of that stuff. That was, like, that's what I think it, yeah. Everything else that we talked about, I feel like it was, I hate to blame it on Ezra Miller, you know, because you shouldn't.
Right.
Like, obviously the fault doesn't just fall on him.
Yeah.
But I'm not saying what he did helped. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I will go both ways. If they are saying Ezra Miller is, if they're fixing themselves or getting help or whatever because they want to take this role seriously, then cool. I would like to see what happens next.
Yeah.
If they have to rewrite it or reboot it with someone else, I'm down to make that see that happen too, just because I'm a Flash fan.
Yeah.
I believe this was like our first or second big actual live action Flash movie.
Aside from like,
is there a live Justice action movie? League? Oh, besides Justice League, yeah.
I don't think. I mean, so maybe back saying. In the
like,
day.
I would like to see more Flash on the big screen.
Yeah.
So however that happens, just make it happen.
Right.
Whoa.
Knock
my microphone.
Do we have time for a few trivias?
Yeah, go for it.
So. It says, in contrast to the infamously troubled production of Justice League, Ben Affleck said that he had a great time reprising his role as Bruce Wayne Batman.
That's good.
In this movie.
Because I know he said he had the shittiest time playing Batman, and I'm glad that it was a lot better from this time. I do want to give compliments. The bat suits, everyone's bat suit in this
was dope.
Was sick.
Yeah.
Just seeing that new Ben Affleck one, I was like, that's cool. That's kind of cool, you know?
And
take a second to think about it, you know what I mean?
Because there's a scene where, like, the Flash and Batman handle situation together, and in my head I was like, we were robbed of a Batflack, just a Batman Batflack movie,
right?
Which sucks, but I get it. It says that Michael Keaton was the oldest, was 71 at the time release, and making him the oldest actor to play Batman in a live action.
Woo!
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I literally went there for that.
I know, right?
I was like, I'm going to keep my eyes on that way, so that way I'm not disappointed in this movie.
Right.
And I wasn't, you know? Like, I will probably buy it and watch it again. You know what I mean? So, apart from the stuff we did say, it was still solid.
Yeah. It was interesting because I saw this on TikTok before that Michael Shannon went to Zack Snyder to basically like get his blessing to come back and play Zod.
I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah. And
Zack Snyder said, I don't want to do this without your permission.
Right.
Oh, dude, it's beyond me. Go for it.
Right.
Oh, okay. That's cool. You know what I mean? That's respect. That's loyalty. Yeah, something like that. You know what I mean? That's cool. Michael Shannon's awesome.
Interesting. Tom Cruise was one of the first people to see the film, having been sent a copy months before its theatrical release. He screened it at his home in Beverly Hills and loved it so much that he called the director to congratulate him.
What? Tom Cruise.
Tom Cruise. Can we do like a Tom Cruise Scientology episode? Because that would be interesting. Because
that's crazy.
That's so...
Well, Tom Cruise liked it, so I don't need anyone else's validation.
This is Andy Muschietti's first non-horror movie. What other movies?
Andy Muschietti?
Yeah. What movies does he do as far as... Oh, he did Mama and It Chapter 2. Oh, he did some Lock and Key stuff, too.
Nice. Good.
I can see
We talked about Lock and Key, right?
Yep. We were watching stuff.
We still are watching stuff.
Right.
Yeah.
It's interesting. There's some things that we talked about that are addressed in trivia.
Yeah. Good. That means we're on top of it.
Speaking of approval of your, you know, predecessor or people that you worked with before, Henry Cavill approved of the film and Sasha Calle's portrayal of Supergirl.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Cool. That's cool. That's so cool. I mean, he's another guy. If they said, yeah, we brought him back, I'd be like, awesome. Like, yeah. You shouldn't have dropped him and gone through all that Superman shit to begin with. Like,
there was a Cavill cameo filmed, but after James Gunn took over, it was cut.
Seriously?
According to trivia.
God. Just let him keep his cameos.
Yeah.
come on.
Yeah.
God.
And, oh, that's kind of cool. Sasha, I guess... She's the first Latina to play Supergirl. So maybe Calle?
Cool.
With the two L's? Sasha Calle?
That's awesome.
Bradley Cooper, Chris Pine, Ryan Kwanten, and Matthew Fox and Scott Porter were linked to the role of Barry Allen in The Flash before Ezra Miller was cast.
Really? Wait, who was the first one?
Bradley Cooper.
Bradley
too old.
No, I like him as Rocket.
Right. Chris Pine...
Chris Pine would have been cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Except I don't know. He's dad material now. You can't play Ezra. Sorry.
The other guy.
I mean, not Ezra Barry.
Ryan Kwanten. He was in True Blood.
Oh.
And Matthew Fox, like from Lost. Matthew Fox.
I don't know.
Yeah, that would be really weird. Okay.
Hmm.
Sorry. Went off on a tangent because I was kind of surprised. Those are all like, not saying old, but like older actors.
Right. Still, I hold Barry Allen close to my heart, just as close as I hold Peter Parker and Bruce Wayne.
Mm-hmm.
So, as long as you don't mess that up. But that's what we got for you, was Spider-Man and the Flash.
Into the Flasherverse. No, sorry, that sounds bad.
Spider-Man Flash into the multi-versers. Multiversers.
Yeah.
I don't know. Anyway, that's all we have for today. We're going to go watch some movies, listen to some music, play a game.
Probably.
We're going to go squeeze our brains out.
Bye-bye.
See you.